Hello and welcome to the Growth for Good podcast. In this episode, I'm delighted to be joined by Libby McDonald, founder of a new company, We Are Thrive, an HR consultancy based in the Highlands and focused on helping organisations to build stronger, healthier cultures as they grow. Libby's journey into business has been shaped by her lived experience, from leaving school early after struggling with undiagnosed dyslexia to working her way through a family-run care business and later supporting organisations through HR roles. Her perspective is grounded, honest, and deeply human. In our conversation, which I think you'll enjoy, we talked about leadership under pressure, what it really means to support people at work, and why many businesses find themselves just surviving rather than thriving. We also explore Libby's approach to HR, neurodiversity, and building clarity and trust as organizations scale. So we're going to jump straight into the conversation. Libby is talking about and reflecting on her experiences that shaped her path into leadership and founding her new company, We Are Thrive. Well, I'm delighted to be joined by Libby McDonald from We Are Thrive, which is a new venture that Libby has just founded. Libby, thank you for joining us on the Growth for Good podcast.
Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Before we get into We Are Thrive, which I'm really excited to hear about, tell me, what were your experiences before you did this? What were the things that shaped you, and what were your thoughts about, you know, growth and the way people do things, well-being, that brought you to where you are today?
Okay, so that's quite hard, actually. So, I think we had a care home business, my family and I. Well, my mum had a care home business in Newtonmore and in Granton-on-Spey. And I had always wanted to, not always, but I had wanted to work for her. And I remember having the conversation with her back in 2000s and something. And I was a hairdresser at the time, and she kind of, in a loving, nurturing, mothering way, laughed and said, "What are you going to do? Come cut hair?" She said, "Don't be ridiculous. No one's going to take you seriously unless you become a nurse or you get a business degree." And I'd really struggled at school. I didn't know at this time that I was dyslexic. So I was kicked out of school, had a really difficult educational experience. And she said, and when she said, "Get a degree," I was like, "Well, I'll show you. I'll go and get a degree." So I got a degree.
And you like that in general, when people say you can't do something or challenge you.
Yeah, I say, just watch me then, because I will prove you wrong, which I don't know if it's a good thing or bad. But so I went into college because I had to get hires, because obviously I left school without any. And that's when I was diagnosed as being dyslexic. And I think that was like a real penny drop moment for me and my mum of like, actually, I wasn't like the bad kid in school. I just, the education system wasn't made for people like me. And I really, really struggled. So having that actually allowed me the time to get my degree, which was really great. And I came back to the Highlands to do it here once I'd finished in Edinburgh. So that was brilliant. And I remember on graduation day, so this is in 2013, and my mum said to me, "Shit, I haven't got a job for you," because I didn't think you would do it. And I was like, okay, well, you need to find me one. So I went and worked for her. Covered like reception, admin, did some of the finance, trained in like accounts and payroll kind of packages, did that.
So you sound like you've done a whole grounding in kind of business.
Well, my mum was really, again, in a really good way, was really hard on me when I came into the business, because she was like, "You're not going to get this for free. You're not having this leg up." She worked incredibly hard to build what she had. And she was like, "There's no way you're just going to waltz in here and think that this is easy, because it's not. If you want to be in business, you are going to learn that if the cleaner doesn't turn up, it's you cleaning the toilets. If the kitchen needs a KP, it's you, you know." And it was really like, it was really hard. But again, it like makes you a better person and understands the full aspect of running a business. So yeah, I did a bit of everything really. And then I did love doing accounts and payroll. But again, being dyslexic, numbers get blurred, come back to front. I had to like make my spreadsheets work for me rather than the person that had been there before.
So you had to work harder at it than other people might do otherwise.
Yeah, and I remember like my mum's got an English degree and she's a qualified nurse. She's very smart. And she would go through my letters, like I would draft a lot of the letters, and she would sit with a red pen and mark them. And I'd be like, and I'd say to her like, "How do you spell?" And she'd be like, "Sound it out." And if anyone else is dyslexic, they will know that sounding it out is not helpful. And I think when you're not dyslexic or anything, you don't appreciate that actually that makes it harder.
Of course.
And the red circling and stuff is something that me and my mum will like still joke about now. Again, it's not, it wasn't her being mean. It was just like, this is, you know, how you need to write a letter. Come on. So it was kind of like all of those experiences. And then my brother and I both worked together in the company and we wanted to buy it over. And again, it was like, you're not getting this for free. There is things that you need to do. So we worked really hard as a family to get the business where it was. And
nothing was on a plate.
Never on a plate. And I remember having a really hard time with some of the team that my mum had worked with for a long time and getting really upset. And she was like, get a thicker skin. Because people are not going to be kind to you. People are not going to make this easy for you. It is going to be hard. And if you want to work here and you want this opportunity, then basically suck it up and get on with it. Mm. And, you know, like at the time you'd be like cross about that. But I'm so grateful for it because it does, even though things will still upset you and nobody's got like an infallible skin, like it does make you think, well, people are going to say things about you. Just you kind of move on from it.
Did it make it easier for you to grasp and deal with things that you were basically saying or understood that life is tough and sometimes you just have to, you know, rise above it?
I think so. And I think like my mum brought us up on her own. So like single parent, three kids, like...
And a business.
In the Highlands of Scotland, we were English. Mm. It was, you know, we have a very loving family, but it wasn't easy. And my mum worked really, really hard to kind of build
so
those foundations.
So you had to build your own network, you were saying, the foundations.
And I think for my mum to do that is really hard. Mm. You've got three young kids that are like three little tearaways that are like, you've moved us halfway across
the
country.
Has she been an inspiration for you?
100%, yeah. Sounds it. Yeah. And I think we've had an interesting relationship through the years because I was the only girl, the youngest. Like, you know, you're going to have that dynamic. Anyone who has kids knows that, I think. And working together in a business is challenging. Some of the days were the best days together and some of them were... Sometimes we'd car share and sometimes I'd be like, and I'm sure she felt the same. Yeah. Like, I'd rather sit anywhere else right now than do a 40-minute car journey next to you. You know, and then we had this thing of like, we would drive home and it would be like, right, okay, three peaks of today and three pits. And sometimes like the peak would be like, I had a nice sandwich. And I remember, you know, like we laugh about it now, like, because some of the days were just so hard. And my brother and I did eventually buy my mum out and it was COVID. So we signed our agreement to buy mum out and then went into lockdown like I think 2 or 3 days later.
Oh dear. That's tough.
So it was quite like, that was another totally different experience. Mm. And then obviously we had care homes, so it was really vulnerable. Tom and I separated so that one of us was in one and one was in the other. My mum wasn't coming in because that was just the agreement that we all had. So it was a really like... tough existence. Eventually I guess like Tom and I ran it for 2 years with my mum supporting in the background, but because we'd managed not to get COVID in the homes for such a long time. And then right towards the end we got COVID in both care homes, which obviously anyone that's experienced COVID was just completely horrific for the team, for the families, for everybody involved. And eventually that's when we kind of sat down.
Yeah, well, that's quite a grounding for you. Was there any particular incident, event, point that kind of like struck you and said, right, okay, well, all this experience here, everything I've done up until now, but I'm going to go and do something different. I'm going to go and launch We Are Thrive. What was the moment that happened?
I think this year. So after the care homes closed, I was pregnant when we made everyone redundant and then worked for another local business as an HR advisor, I was lucky to get that position in a sense, and it was a good grinding. And then I joined another company in the energy industry, and I was like, and both companies, great, you know, great experience, great opportunities, all of those things. But there was part of me that was like, I could do this better, not in an arrogant way either, but just like, I want to go in and support organizations that are kind of scaling up and help put in those.
Was it rather than a particular incident or time or things? Was it more of a gradual thing that happened, or can you, you nail the time when you went?
I can tell you the time.
Okay, well, let's hear that. That's what I want to get to.
I know, sorry, I've gone a long, long way around. So yeah, I think this year definitely I was not happy in my job and joined the board for Highland Businesswomen. Jill, actually, I said to Jill, oh, this board position's come up, what do you think? And she's like, well, I'm on the board. She's like, yeah, you'd be good.
This is Jill McAlpine.
Yes. So I joined the board, went to one of their networking events that Jill and Iris was at, and I said, like, I think I want to do like HR consultancy, but I want to do it, like, I want to do it my way, I want to do it a bit different. And they both were like, looked at me as if like, well, of course, like, of course you can do that. And I was like, oh, okay, they think I can do that. And then I like sat with the idea for a while, and I had a few other ideas around it, and didn't want to say anything to my husband because I thought he's probably just gonna be like, like, I, you know, have no more capacity for you. But I remember telling him, and he had this like smirk on his face when I told him. I was like, why are you smirk? Are you laughing at me? And he was like, it's about effing time. And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, I've been waiting for you to come up with the idea that I know you've had in your head somewhere that you're going to run your own business. And he's like, and it's taken you nearly 3 years, but you've got there. So what are we doing? And I was like, okay, so you believe that I can do something too. And I think those three people were really key in like, actually, they had the belief in me when I maybe didn't. And they kind of really helped shape and formulate the idea of what We Are Thrive was going to be and what it could be. So I think that was definitely the catalyst. So the summer of this year, of 2025, was like, I blame those three people. They are responsible for me sitting here, basically. So, but yeah, I think it's been good.
We Are Thrive, you founded this business. Tell us, before we go into a wee bit more about yourself and you know what you're bringing to that, tell us a bit about what it is.
Okay, so We Are Thrive is an HR consultancy based here in the Highlands. So everything that you would expect an HR consultant to do is what I will do. So policies, procedures, contracts, supporting businesses in that key HR compliance area that I guess when companies are maybe 100 employees or less, they probably are not going to have the budget for in-house HR. So outsourcing it is a really good solution. Or if you've got a situation where maybe one of your HR team is off unwell or anything like that, then we can step in and fill that gap and support the organization through whatever part of that cycle that they're in. And I think starting with organizations, like I was saying earlier, when they are scaling and building those strong compliance blocks in, but also what I wanted to do with We Are Thrive is make HR a bit more interesting and a bit more engaging. So I want it to be about how can we go into an organization and say, yes, I know performance management sounds a bit dull, but this is what you can get out of when you put good foundations into performance management, for example, or good foundations into how do you do a proper investigation? How do you run a proper disciplinary? How do you run a proper grievance so that employees feel heard and listened to, but the organization is also kind of protected too, because...
And there's a really good business reason for having good HR, because you know, sometimes if you let things run out of control, it can end up costing a lot more.
Yeah.
And indeed, you know, bad practices and things like that can develop, can't they?
Yeah. But and culture, bad cultures can come from those bad practices. You know, I don't like to think anyone goes in with the intention of setting up an in business and employing people and mistreating them or treating them badly. People just sometimes get into, like you're saying, bad habits, and it's how do you...
Or they don't see what's going on.
Yeah, or they just don't understand it or understand the importance of like just great onboarding of a new employee. That can make all the difference to how that employee then works within your organization, how they speak about you when they're out and about. So it's all of those bits. Getting that right is really important. But what I wanted We Are Thrive to be about is how do we educate people in business to understand how that actually works in practice. If that makes sense.
Well, it sounds fascinating and something that, you know, like I say, I think there is a real need for people to do that. And when you're running a medium, small business, but you've maybe got, you know, 10 or more employees, you know, there is a gap there that needs to be filled. So you've set up We Are Thrive, quite a change from where you were before.
Yeah.
What has it felt like making that move to becoming a founder?
Terrifying.
So you're terrified. But what are your experiences that you can share with us about how that has come about and what the early stages have been like for you?
Well, there are a few key parts. So I feel like I'm just going to talk about Jill and Iris quite a lot, but
So this is part of your support network.
Yeah. And they've launched a great service or product or called Build. So I initially went in with them to figure out, like, I guess the noise in my brain of how do I make this work? Because I also had like an idea of how do you make something tech and AI based as well to support me, but also to support my clients. And I don't know the first thing about tech and AI because I'm not programmed that way. So kind of like sitting in a room with Jill and just saying, this is what's in my head. How do I get that to be anything was really helpful. And also sitting and like strategizing about, okay, so these are the points where you need to get to point A to be able to go and speak to your boss to say that you're going to go. And this is, you know, they weren't telling me what to do, but they were giving me ideas and solutions. And we were kind of coming up with a plan of how do you exit employment and go into being self-employed? Because that would have been the bit that I struggled with. So that was really helpful. So going in and then seeing my boss, I think one day I just said to my husband, Kevin, I was like, I'm going to speak to my boss tomorrow and resign. And he was like, okay, this has gone from an idea to resigning. So I was like, well, this is what I'm thinking. I'm going to go in, this is in November, and ask if I can work part-time from January to March and then finish at the end of March, because that buys us time and income, but also means I've got time to work on the business. So that was the agreement between my husband and I. And he was like, what if they say no? And I was like, if they say no, I don't know.
You're in peril.
Yeah. I was like, well, you know, we'll just have to, it was a bit of like fly by the seat of my pants. And I'd built so much behind the scenes in the evenings and in the weekends. I was like, we're at a point now where it's like, you either launch this or you don't. So we've got to launch it.
But you got the okay to do that.
I was really lucky. When I spoke to my boss and said, this is what I want to do, I think he was a bit taken aback, as you would be, because I just went in and said, have you got like 15 minutes to talk to me? And he was very gracefully said, just sit down. And I said to him, he's like, right, basically, can you put what you want in writing and like I'll come back to you, which I think is an extremely reasonable response. And thankfully, he came back and said, that's fine. You can do that. You can work part-time and we'll make sure you do a handover for the person that's going to replace you. So I'm lucky in that sense. It wasn't, because he could have said, off you go.
And we are Thrive. Mm-hmm. What have you brought off yourself into? What specific thing do you think, you know, gives you that edge with this new company you founded?
I think a couple of things. One is, I've ran a company before. I've employed, well, me and my family have employed 110 people. We've supported 75 vulnerable adults in the Highlands alongside their families. So I know what it's like to run a company. I know what it's like to do a management buyout. I know what it's like to run a business through COVID. And I also know what it's like to stand in front of your team and say, we've run out of money and the liquidators are in the car park and I'm really sorry. Mm-hmm. And then to think that I was going to be kept on for a little while I was pregnant and be made redundant is, so I've experienced that whole like life cycle.
As well as the experience, is it empathy?
Yeah, definitely.
Is it an understanding of what those people who were maybe you had to talk to would be going through?
Yeah.
Because you've got to experience it yourself.
You can see it from both sides. And I can see the importance of having good HR and also how businesses need to run to be compliant, but also like at the end of the day, they need to make money. Mm-hmm. So I can see it from both sides of the coin, I guess. And then also having been an employee for the last 3 years, I know what I've enjoyed about those aspects and what I haven't. So you've kind of got a very, I think like a broader experience as well as the HR background, but I don't think there'll be many HR consultants that have got that level of what it is to run a business and all of the other bits that go alongside. So I'm hoping that that stands me, I don't know, in good stead.
We've been talking about We Are Thrive, your new business that you founded. Thrive is a particular, what does the word thrive mean to you? What is it to you?
Thrive is, there's like a saying that I say probably too often now, like, are you surviving or are you thriving? Because in life, sometimes it feels like you are surviving. And I think in business, sometimes it will definitely feel like you're just surviving and no more.
Whereas it's a kind of subsistence thing that you get a lot of businesses find themselves in, where they're working just to pay the wages.
Yeah, and you're just like peddling, and there's no, like, you can't see a way out of it. Like, how do I get from A to B, and how do I make it thrive, and how do I make it brilliant? And I think that's where, like, We Are Thrive kind of came from as well. How do we get businesses to go from surviving to really thriving, and for their employees to feel like, this is a company I want to be in, this is a company I want to talk about, this is a company I want to spend the next, like, 10 years in, because I can see that there's a clear career pathway. I can see that they're investing in their teams, in their management teams. You know, we've probably all experienced, like, managers that don't know how to manage and leaders that don't know how to lead. They've been put into these positions. And I think, like, that's a real key part of We Are Thrive as well. How do you support that management team to really excel where they can excel and help their team excel, which is only going to make your business thrive, I guess.
So you've explained that well, but what are the values that you think you've brought to Thrive?
I think, again, being dyslexic, like, one of the values is, like, clarity, like, clear instruction, clear policies, clear, like, let's take away all of the unnecessary guff that we just don't need, make it clear, make it transparent for everybody to understand, whether you're neurodiverse or not, like, let's make that. So that's a big thing. Being authentic, I know we all use that word and band it around a lot, but that's really important. Like, come to the training sessions and be honest about what you know and what you don't know, and be open to what you want to learn and what you want to bring to the party, because that's the only way you're going to get the best out of, like, if we were to do a management training session, that's the only way you're going to get the best out of it. Be open and honest and transparent and say, I don't know this, and let's build those kind of foundation blocks. So those are, like, authenticity, clarity, clarification, those kind of things are really important. And, like, the transparent and being honest and open.
That honesty is something that's really important, isn't it?
Because, massive.
Because to get that level of trust, because human resources, you're literally talking about human beings and resources.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have that level of trust for a company to function well, don't you?
And I think HR, we do, you know, they've tried to rebrand it so many times, haven't they, for, like, people and culture and all of these different buzzwords that you get around it. And I think the essence of what HR is that we are there to support an organization, but we're also there to support the employees. And when you tread this really fine line of making sure that the company's compliant and giving sound advice that sometimes isn't followed for whatever reason that a company decides not to follow it, but then that's always, that was HR's fault. And there's no accountability for anybody else in the middle. So you kind of get lumbered with the great and the bad. So I think that's a challenge for HR professionals.
Business owners, founders or management teams or whatever, want to feel that they're contributing back to their employee base as well.
Yeah, you'd like to think so. I think that's such an important part of it, and sitting with, like, management teams and leadership teams to say, what is your bigger vision for your organisation and for your people, and how do we help create that pathway to that vision?
You've taken the plunge. You've founded this new company. Sounds great. And, you know, what you've told us about the values and your approach to it sound like something that's going to win through with people.
Yeah.
But what has surprised you or taken you aback most about the process of setting up a new business from scratch?
Strange things, like finding a business name. Like, you go through so many different thoughts in your head of what it could be and what it should be and how's the branding going to look and those kind of things. Took up a lot more time than I thought they would. I thought it would just,
so the,
like,
packaging was a challenge.
I thought it would just, like, you know, come to me in the night kind of thing, and that takes a little bit. And also the amount of, even though, like, I have a full-time job and a three-year-old, and we decided in our wisdom to get another dog, a puppy, and I have a husband and all of the other things, life happens and you're tired. But when I'm, like, come home and when he's gone to bed, I'm like, okay, I can do a couple of hours work right now. And it, like, re-energizes me somehow, I think, because I'm so passionate about it. Logging into that computer and doing whatever it is I'm doing on that. And it's not even like you're being paid at the moment to do some of that stuff. It's just because you're building something and it's exciting.
That enthusiasm.
Yeah, and it really drives you and makes you feel like re-energized. So that surprised me a lot, because I did think, where am I going to get the energy and the headspace to build this?
Does that come full circle to what we were talking about earlier, where you're set a challenge and you're just going to go and prove everybody to everybody you can do this?
Yeah. I think because I failed so badly at school, and I was asked to leave school. Yeah. I didn't even get excluded. I was asked. Can you just go?
Not come back.
Yeah. You can, just that. I think it's just best we part ways. Being told that at 15, you're kind of like, well, I can either take this one of two ways. Either the world's against me and I can just go and fall into that world that they think I'm going to fall into, or I can go and be someone. And I think that is, when I became a hairdresser, I was like, I'm going to be the best. I went and worked for Tony and Guy. I worked in London. I worked all over the world. And I was a great hairdresser for that age. So I think it is
We'll have to do an entirely separate podcast on your early days at school. I'm sure this sounds fascinating. I'm sure people want to hear more about that. But let's talk about some of the challenges you've overcome. You've talked about all the different things that you've had to face and the way you had some kind of strict but loving control over how you got things done from your family. But when you have a wobble, when you feel a wee bit nervous about something, what helps keep you grounded? What's the thing?
Through COVID, I realised meditation was quite a big thing for me. And people used to say that to me. So I do get quite anxious and anxiety and have that, it's really horrible. And I've had it to the point where you have to sit on the floor and so it's really unpleasant. So somebody once said to me, have you tried meditating? And I immediately laughed in their face. It's anyone that knows me personally, they'll know that I'm not the person to sit still and breathe. So learning how to meditate is been a bit of a game changer for me, because it just calms down all of the noise.
Do you recommend
noise.
It for other people?
100%. Yeah, just sitting, eyes closed, a meditation app, whatever works for you, definitely works.
And this is about repeating a mantra over and over, is it?
I don't necessarily like that. It's more like the breathing, because that just calms me down.
I say this because, the idea of meditation for me is just with my scope, because my brain's always full of things.
Yeah.
But it
empties your brain. Mm-hmm. And I feel like then when you come, do 10 minutes of it and then you come back out and you're like, right, okay, I know what I need to do now. Mm-hmm. And it just calms all of that noise. Or sometimes if I'm too, sometimes anxiety is the other way, where I'm like, I am so up here. So I have a Peloton bike, which I'm really grateful to have.
And so exercise
jump on that.
Is another thing. Yeah.
Love it. Or now that our dog's a wee bit bigger, going out and walking her is such a
kind
joy.
Of dog, is she?
A yellow Labrador.
Ah, fantastic.
So we had two labs before and we lost them quite close together. And then I was like, I need to get another dog, because again, I find them quite calming and relaxing and going outside.
Regular listeners to the podcast will realize that whenever there's a dog mentioned, I always go, tell me more about it.
I know. You could do a podcast about dogs.
It's part of the school days and the dogs are coming. So those are things that help keep you grounded. You've talked very early on about your mum, your family. Is that also important to you?
Yeah, having conversations with them sometimes, because they, the people that are closest to you will also tell you the things that you don't want to hear, which sometimes you need to, you do need to hear them. And my other half is very good at doing that also. You sit and have a glass of wine and I'll say, oh, well, this happened today. And then he's like, right, well, and you kind of, while you don't like being told that you're maybe wrong or that you need to be whatever, it's then your next day you're like, oh, that was actually quite helpful. So yeah, those kind of key people again, it is having your network, isn't it?
As Thrive begins to take shape, what are you most excited about at the moment? What are you most looking forward to in the coming year?
Well, two things. One is definitely getting out there and working with organisations and every founder, getting clients. And then the other thing is that I've been kind of working on in the background is, I don't know what you, tech platform, HR platform type. Again, my dyslexic brain, whenever people used to hand me policies to work through or whatever, and I'd be like, there's so many words on here and I don't know what I'm going to do with that. And now we've got great AI and everything else. So I was looking at how do you make employee handbooks and policies more accessible for neurodivergent people? So how do you create something that's on your phone, on your laptop, whatever it is, but that you can summarize, you can change the fonts, you can have it read to you, you can have it highlight.
So nobody falls down the cracks.
So everybody can access it. So whether you're the HR person supporting somebody through something difficult, or whether you're the employee that doesn't understand the policy, so it, you know, it works for the whole organization. So that's what I've been kind of building, and is what I need investment in. So that we've got like the first prototypes finished and done, and over the holidays I'll start putting, I guess, like actual policies, handbooks and stuff like that into it, so that then I can have a working prototype to say.
So did you just say this is an investment opportunity for somebody if they want to come and join you with
yes,
this?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, bear that in mind. I'm sure if anybody's listening and watching.
And it's really good. Like the prototype, I've never built a prototype before, and I never thought I would be in a room with, so it was Jeff from Farsight Tech, Digital Solutions. Yeah. You'll put the right thing in for me. I sat in a room with him and his team, and I was like, I remember sitting in the car park and having a bit of a cry, because I was just like, how am I making a prototype for something that's been in my brain for so long of like, how do we make HR, how do we make policies more user-friendly, how do we get there, and how do we use the tech that's now available to actually build that? So it was like, and sitting in that room for a whole day was very intense, and there was times when he was like talking to me doing the coding and stuff, and I was just like yeah, because like it's just totally a world away from where I thought I would have been at the start of 2025. So going into 26 having this thing hopefully at some point in early 26 ready to launch is really quite cool.
It's really interesting talking to you about these experiences that you've had throughout this conversation we've had today, because a number of times you've referenced emotions that you have personally about it. And that's clearly one of the strengths you've got, is that you can have that direct understanding about how people feel about things and then actually bring them into that. And obviously I can feel, one of the things I can feel in this room, and I hope it comes across in the video and in the audio, is the enthusiasm that
it's just exciting, it does
sound really exciting for that. So that's the coming year for you, that's one of the biggest things.
That, and also I've set up Thriving HR, which is for HR professionals. So hopefully we'll do a quarterly meeting. So the first one, Harper and McLeod are doing it. Laura Kim Muir. I've said her name wrong. So we're doing that, and it's going to be on the Employment Rights Bill and how does that impact HR. And I think having that space for HR professionals to sit and speak openly and honestly about, you know, because there are so many new legislations coming in. Okay, well, can I ask, you know, sometimes you do feel like, am I asking the stupid question? Because I'm the HR person, I should know everything, and we don't know everything. So creating those spaces and creating them in person for people in the Highlands is really important, because we get missed out. Like everything's happening in Glasgow or Aberdeen, they're not happening here in Inverness, and there's so many talented people. So to get those people into the room, that's also the next thing for 26.
Well, I could talk to you for hours about this, because it's fascinating. Venture that you've started and the path sounds really interesting. But let me just finish by asking you, what's your biggest hope for the coming year in terms of, it doesn't have to be business, it could be person, what's your biggest hope for the coming year?
To make We Are Thrive a success, and for it to be everything that I'm kind of dreaming up in my head for it to be. And I just hope that you get so many ideas when you start a business, don't you? And I just need the clarity of this is this pathway and this is this pathway. So I want that to kind of be, I guess, We Are Thrive to be well known and well respected within Highland and further afield.
Libby McDonald, We Are Thrive, thank you very much indeed for joining me on the Growth for Good podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's been good.
Well, my thanks to Libby McDonald, the founder of We Are Thrive. What stood out for me in this conversation was Libby's clarity about the role people play in building sustainable organisations. Good leadership is not about control or complexity. It's about trust, understanding, and creating the conditions where people can do their best work. Libby's story is also a reminder that some of the most effective leaders are shaped by challenge. Her experience across HR, entrepreneurship, brings a depth of empathy that's increasingly important as organisations grow and change. If you've enjoyed this episode, please do share it, subscribe to the podcast, and follow Growth for Good for more conversations with people working to build businesses that put people and communities at the centre. I'm Drew Hendry. Thanks for listening and watching, and I'll see you next time.